Ever catch yourself mid-scroll, wondering how you ended up here again? Thumb numb, eyes glazed, brain full of other people's thoughts? We've become spectators in our own lives, consuming endless content while our authentic selves gather dust in some forgotten corner. The irony cuts deep. We're more connected than ever, yet profoundly disconnected from the one person who matters most, ourselves. This disconnect isn't accidental. From childhood, we're trained to seek answers outside ourselves, to trust authorities over intuition, to fit in rather than stand out. But what if the genius we're desperately seeking in self-help books and productivity hacks has been inside us all along, just waiting for permission to emerge? The word education comes from Latin educare, to draw out. Yet our schools stuff information in rather than kindle living fires. This industrial revolution system, designed for compliant factory workers, still dominates today. Teachers often rate creative students as less desirable because they challenge conventions. The statistics are devastating. 98% of 5-year-olds score at genius level for divergent thinking, but by adulthood, only 2% retain that ability. Conventional education actively destroys creativity. This problem extends beyond classrooms. We've become information gluttons, consuming dozens of books and podcasts while implementing nothing. As philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer warned, many have read themselves stupid. The snake offers a better model. When its insides outgrow its outsides, it must shed its skin or risk blindness and death. We need similar courage, recognizing when our old identities no longer fit and having the guts to shed them, even when society screams that winners never quit. True wisdom isn't about accumulating more knowledge, but unlearning what no longer serves us. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "A wise man might wish to be ignorant of many things." Beethoven's deafness didn't end his career, it heightened it. Unable to hear musical fashions, he developed a unique style distilled to music's fundamental elements. With external sounds tuned out, he fully tuned in to his internal imagination. Most of us fear such solitude, filling silence with notifications and news alerts, playing everyone's tune except our own. Information is like food. Some is toxic, and even healthy information becomes harmful in high doses. The average person spends 145 minutes daily on social media, time that could yield 118-153 books annually. We gorge on mental M&Ms, leaving our minds in perpetual hyperventilation. The solution isn't abstinence, but selective consumption. Create mental speed bumps, small barriers prompting conscious decision-making. Unsubscribe liberally, abandon uncaptivating books, except you can't keep up with the information deluge. This realization isn't unfortunate, it's freeing. By letting little bad things happen, you create space for greatness to emerge. Growing up in Istanbul with eccentric tastes, computers, sci-fi books, Carl Sagan's Cosmos, differences became liabilities when a principal publicly shamed a young boy for his longer hair, clipping it with a girl's hairpin. From that moment, he became an octopus, changing colors to match surroundings. Moving to America meant trading European jeans for cargo shorts, joining fraternities, losing his accent. After years of shape-shifting, he realized fitting in only brought superficial belonging, not him, but a tailored version. This mirrors Johnny Cash's transformation at Sun Records. Cash initially sang gospel like everyone else, until label owner Sam Phillips interrupted. We've already heard that song 100 times. Phillips challenged him to sing something real, insisting success has to do with believing in yourself. This freed Cash from conformity. He began playing Folsom Prison Blues and became Johnny Cash, embracing his somber demeanor, distinctive voice, and dark clothing. The most dangerous imitation isn't copying others, it's copying yourself. When you stop replicating past successes and embrace uncertainty, remarkable things happen. Discovering your mission requires action, not just thought. Treat life as a laboratory where you try on possible selves. Talk to people in fields you're interested in, shadow professionals, launch small test projects. Ask, what am I testing? What does success look like? When will the experiment end? Consider Sylvester Stallone at 29 with just $106 in his bank account. After watching Muhammad Ali fight Chuck Wepner, he wrote Rocky in 3.5 days. When producers offered up to $360,000 but wanted a famous actor for the lead, he refused. He wrote it to star himself. The film earned $225 million and won 3 Academy Awards. Success often doesn't come with external validation. Jason Alexander earned 8 Emmy nominations without winning. Glenn Close received 8 Oscar nominations without a win. Isaac Asimov wrote 261 consecutive books before finally hitting the New York Times bestseller list with his 262nd book after 43 years. When we chase external validation, we hand control of our worth to others, becoming tightrope walkers trying not to lose approval rather than focusing on what truly matters. In Good Will Hunting, Will exposes Clark's pretentious regurgitation of others' ideas. We've become dependent on external opinions, thinking with Google instead of ourselves. True thinking requires exploring questions before researching them, so others' opinions don't exert too much gravitational pull. Self-talk isn't mental collapse. It's essential for mining deeper insights. Speech generates thought, not the other way around. Through free writing, we connect our subconscious to conscious mind. The ancient word abracadabra means I create as I speak, the perfect description of how self-talk transforms nebulous thoughts into concrete insights. Strategic procrastination can generate breakthroughs. Start projects quickly, jot down initial ideas, then deliberately walk away to let your subconscious work. This waiting isn't passive. It's when ideas mature and develop new associations. Our bodies contain ancient wisdom that our analytical minds often override. During skeet shooting in Dublin, an instructor advised, "Follow your body. Your mind is getting in the way." When calculations stopped and body signals were trusted, the target was hit dead center. True wisdom comes from treating thinking as a whole body activity. Inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar digests itself into nutritious soup. From this emerge imaginal discs, first principles that become wings, eyes, and legs. Our safety nets feel practical, but fear keeps us clinging to them. Fear of letting go, fear of missing our caterpillar life, fear of sailing as a butterfly. But letting go can be an act of love. Our old selves become compost for our new selves. Society will tempt you to resist transformation, but digesting doesn't mean forgetting. Your past experiences are gifts from your former self. You don't owe anyone the caterpillar you used to be. The Greek word for butterfly is psyche, which also means soul. Metamorphosis doesn't erase you. It reveals the depths of your soul. You were created from pieces of the universe. Iron in your blood, calcium in your bones, carbon made in red giants billions of years ago. Your existence is miraculous. So be unapologetically you. Discard what doesn't serve you. Declutter your mind. Delight in self-discovery. Stop looking for gurus. You are the one you've been waiting for. The world doesn't need another copy of someone else's genius. It needs the original masterpiece that only you can create. Butterfly, it's time to fly.